Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. We are going to be talking about those components that enable you as an individual to know success. Everybody has their formulas. The gentleman that I'm interviewing today is a man with an incredible background. Fred Mansky is my guest. His book that has beautiful huskies on its cover is called Core Strategy for Success. Fred, welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, and I'm glad to be with you today.
Well, it's absolutely a delight, and I want my audience to know about you. You're a man that has had a passion for business, making businesses successful. You've been involved in public service. You were the president and CEO of Purolator Courier, Canada's leading distribution company. You really did a lot in turning around the company's profits and also improving their service quality. And you also were involved with FedEx. You had served as senior vice president of operations and sales for 11 years with them prior to becoming the president and CEO of Purolator Courier Limited. You are a man that really enjoys business. Lots of times people have such negative attitudes about business. What is it that makes you enjoy it so much? What is it that made you feel that this was a challenge that you enjoyed taking on, walking into, you might say, a hornet's nest of confusion, mismanagement, and making everything hum the way it's supposed to?
Well, the fun part about business is dealing with the people. I've always gotten a lot of enjoyment out of developing people. That's always kind of been my thing in life. All the way through my career, from day one, that's been the thing that I remember the most when I've had an impact on making or helping someone enjoy his job more, her job more, perform better, and just be able to go home at night and say, you know, I really like my job. So, and that was the kind of the mantra at Federal Express. The philosophy there was people, service, profit, PSP. And mm-hmm. Notice the first word is people. And that's kind of how I was raised. I'm continuing to do that now, and I'm really not retired, but I'm working on the mission of developing effective, ethical leaders with the emphasis on ethical.
Oh, boy. That is a word that we yearn to feel can really be backed up with action. I think so many people today, regardless of where they are in the world, they are so discouraged over what is being brought forth. It's as if there has been an invisible cancer that has gotten to such an invasive level. People are so disgusted. They really want to go back to that. You bring out a point in your book right at the very beginning, and I'm going to quote directly from it. Telling the truth and being honest are becoming less valued. A recent survey of 7,000 young people conducted by the Josephson Institute of Ethics saw two significant things. One, the majority of teenagers believe that lying and cheating are necessary to succeed. And two, teenagers are three times more likely than those older than 40 to hold this belief. Why do you think this breakdown has occurred?
Well, it's broken down for a number of reasons in society. The unprecedented breakdown in the family is probably the number one reason. There's also a lack of sense of community that's kind of evolved through our culture during the last 50 years. And there's also a decline in the prominence and influence of organized religion and civic organizations. People are being raised today often with only one parent. They do not have the backup and the community of local organizations holding them accountable, working with them, developing them. They're basically on their own, many people in society. And all that has taken years to play out, and I really believe we're in a crisis of ethics in this country, and it is a big-time problem, and there are things that can be done, and that's maybe we can talk about that later, but it's critical.
Also, you bring out in the very beginning of your book how the general public, as I mentioned, the perception of business leaders is at an all-time low. I think what we see in the media is very, very discouraging. But what I like about your book, Core Strategy for Success, is that you say we can turn it around. I believe it. I know that it can happen. And what I like is that you, as a person of mature years, you're saying, I'm going to be out here walking the walk, talking the talk, so that you know that this is possible. Good guys can finish first. The cheating, the lying, I mean, the stuff that's coming out about kids in college and the cheating on the papers. What is astonishing to me is the lack of accountability. We have people in big positions in companies that have no ethics whatsoever. They are not held accountable by their peers even. The same thing with politicians. And that's why people get so disgusted, absolutely disgusted. And I agree with you. I have yet to encounter anybody that says, oh, I think the more we lie, the better it is. Not a one. They really want to have those core values of honesty and integrity. And to the best of my observation, if people aren't held accountable, why should they bother? It's just easier not to bother.
That's exactly right. And we hold a college ethics symposium for 20-some colleges every year for 3 days of intensive case study discussions about ethics. And we try to do two things in that has what you're talking about. First is we try to demonstrate that they can see, these students, that the people that are working to put on that symposium have been successful and ethical. We're trying to let them learn by example, by seeing that you can be successful and ethical. And in fact, if you're ethical, your chances are today in society that you can even be more successful. And you have to sell that in at a very young age. And the second thing you have to do, you have to give the students the frameworks for how they can make ethical decisions, the steps that they can go through in their mind to make sure they make the right call. But it's a hard sell today. It needs to be done. I'm convinced that if we get to people, young people, early enough, we can teach them that by taking the high road, they're definitely better off in the long run in every respect. And that's really what the mission is about that I'm trying to do.
Well, I think it's wonderful. I'm just thrilled because I think it takes the older generation to teach the younger. And I think there's been such a big gap of isolation. And people, so often, they retire from their environments and they just think, well, I don't need to bother with anything anymore. And they're needed. They really are needed. They need to be able to share what you're sharing with the younger generation. Because if they don't have a good example, then what are they going to be able to compare with? If you grow up and all you know is cheating and lying and this type of thing, you say, well, these people are suckers. They just don't know any better. But when you realize that there is this other side and a good guy can come out first and be respected, there's a gentleman I'm going to be interviewing in next month, I'm hoping. And this is a man that he has employees that have worked with him for over 30 years. His business was totally, totally wiped out, destroyed. And every single one of those employees that were working for him about 25 years ago when his business burnt to the ground stayed with him And he ended up turning his entire company, when he entered his 80s, over to the employees, which made all of them wealthy. But he said, this is the kind of business, this is how I've run the business. And I was, when I came across that information, I was thrilled. I thought, what a wonderful example that is for a younger generation. Let's talk about the core strategy, ECL. What does it mean?
Okay, those three components, a little background first. I was giving a keynote speech several years ago, and again, it was college seniors I was going to be talking to. And I looked up the words, how to be successful on the Internet, 120 million references. It's almost impossible for someone to sort any of that material out in terms of their own development. And I said to myself, well, what three things, what three values can I leave with the students in this presentation that they can use, that are core values, that are critical to success? And I came up with the three values. And the first one is ethics. Now, when you think about ethics, is the cornerstone of trust. If you don't have ethics, you're not going to be trusted by the people who work for you. In your personal life, if you don't have ethics, you're not going to be trusted by your significant others. So the cornerstone of good business, of success in business, is to be ethical. No customer is going to come back to a company to give them more business if they feel that company will not stand behind their products, if they're not ethical. So that was the first component, E for ethics. And I'm absolutely convinced from my life's experience, when what I've done, what I've seen, what I've read, that if you are ethical, in the long term, you're going to be successful. So that was the first component of the core strategy. The second component was C, for caring for others' spirit. If you think about that a minute, you're attracted. We're all attracted to people that have that attitude, who care for others, that servant attitude. And when you have that in a company, in a business environment, customers are attracted to you. Employees will be more loyal, they'll demonstrate more teamwork, and they'll give extra effort if they feel their manager cares about them, has that caring for others spirit. The third component of the core strategy is L for lifelong learning. Now, here is a very interesting topic. And, you know, when people first look at that L for lifelong learning, you know, everybody kind of understands that. But when you ask how many practice it, that's where the big issue comes in. Over 99% of the people today in the workforce do not practice passionate lifelong learning. And that's where you spend extra time at home studying and developing and preparing yourself for not only your present job, for anticipated future job. So,
those are three
components, and they're critical. And if people will internalize those and operationalize those values, their chances of being successful in this most difficult marketplace of all time is greatly enhanced.
So that, I have never known a period in my life experience where trust has not been vital. And I have been through some challenging times in my life, as I know you have and many of my listeners have. And when there is trust between people, there is assistance. There is going to be someone that will say, here, let me give you a helping hand until you can get, or I believe in you, I believe in what you're doing, let me help you. That aspect of trust is vitally necessary, and it has to be earned. Respect must be earned, and that is something I feel a lot of people don't get. And many people in the younger generation don't understand it. They think that, well, I know a lot of older people are this way too. They just think they're entitled. No. It is something you have to earn, something that you have to demonstrate. And that only comes with living life. And living it with ethics is extremely important. And do what's right. And I'll quote from your book, Good, Honest, and Fair. And once you learn how to do that, you're not really going to want to go back to the other way, because even though it could be tough if you're breaking old patterns, it represents you in a way. Again, trust is so important, so important. And that's what's going to pull the U.S. out of the brink of what we perceive a disaster.
It
is that understanding of trust and confidence, and we're going to do the right thing. Not political junk. We're going to do the right thing.
Donna, it starts with our leaders being ethical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand what I mean by that. Ethical really is doing what is right, what is good, what is honest, and what is fair. It's really the standards of behavior related to those four values of what is right, what is good, and what is honest and fair. And if our leaders had that, if more of them had that, the people would trust them more, and then they'd have a different kind of spirit. Now, this is very difficult to change for people that are in mid or later life. So I am devoting my time almost exclusively of trying to get to people before they get in the workforce. College seniors is really my targeted audience. They're nervous about getting a job. They want to be successful. They're a perfect audience because they want to learn. They're like sponges. And that's the time you have to convince them. They have to see, by looking at you, the person speaking, and have to understand that there is a compelling reason for being ethical in what they do. And they have to tie, like we just talked about, that ethics leads to trust. And without trust, you have nothing. So that's where it is in our country. And somehow we've got to encourage ethical people to get into politics today and to rise up. And I'm not talking about either party. I'm just talking about it in general.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. And that starts with the kids. And
right.
And if you have to decide what you want to devote your life to today, I would really urge you to get where the highest payback is, the highest leverage, and that's with young people. And we have a chance if we can get them on the right track.
You have a quote in here by William Buffett. He is recognized by people around the world, obviously, because he's one of the wealthiest men in the world. He talked about hiring people, and I think when people hear this, I think it's going to be something that will maybe give them an aha. He said, use three primary criteria in hiring: integrity, intelligence, and energy. Hire someone without the first, and the other two will kill you. So he's saying, if a person doesn't have integrity, they're going to rob you blind. They're going to destroy what you would not expect them to destroy. And I've seen this happen. I have seen this happen more than once. And I loved your statement. It starts at the top. I have a husband that just loves business like you do, has a real passion for it. And he advocated, I remember the first time he started talking about business to me when we were dating, he said, the attitude at the top permeates the organization. And that was many years ago, and I've seen that to be true over and over and over again, and that's what we have seen big time with a lot of corporations. But people need to remember what you're seeing on the news is not representative of the majority of people in business. The majority of people in business are middle class, and their integrity is what's going to keep them alive, or if they don't have it, it's going to destroy them.
Well, you know, that brings an interesting question. How do we get our institutions today to behave differently? And I think the only way we can do that is to make sure the incentive systems, and I'm talking principally about business right now, that the incentive systems favor the kind of values that you really want. I'll go back to my old company again, that people, service, profit. I always made sure that the bonus payouts for all the managers in the U.S. business were tied in three parts. One-third for people, one-third for service, and one-third for profit. That encouraged everybody to work on all three in a balanced fashion. Now, if it had been the other way around, if I had said two-thirds on profits, that would have encouraged them, because they want more bonus money, to go out and try to figure out ways that they can cut corners and do things just to maximize profit at the expense of service or even people. So I would really urge people in business today, owners of business, people that are at a level where they can influence the company, make sure your incentive systems are geared to the kind of values that lead to long-term success. And they are, right back to the three core strategy. It's right back to ethics, caring for others' spirit, and this passionate life owning. So you incentivize your people properly, and a lot of things can change. And I think even government, we've got to do the same kind of thing. So that's something people can grab on and work with today. So it's not all just talk.
Right. You talk about a woman whose name is Dr. Muni Tazib, and it is under one of your sections in the book, Spontaneous Selflessness. Spontaneous Selflessness. Two very powerful words. Tell us her story and what she did, because it links in right with the caring about others, being a leader with heart. What did she do?
Well, she's a doctor, and she was very moved by the situation in Haiti. And she raised her hand and said, you know, I'd be willing to go down and help. She went to some kind of governmental agency and offered her services. And basically she was told that she didn't have any experience under a crisis kind of situation, and they turned down her application to go down to Haiti. So she didn't take that lightly, and she decided that she was going down there anyhow, but she wasn't just going to go down by herself. She was going to organize a team of doctors, nurses, and other people to assist, and she took quite a sizable group down to Haiti on her own expense, and they got down there, and they did some wonderful things. And so that's a very powerful story. It's interesting you brought that up, but that's a caring for other spirit. Now, that kind of woman, people would do anything for, because they absolutely believe in her soul and her spirit and what she stands for. And see, I think that's what this is all about in terms of leadership. That was
absolutely. The story is just incredible. You make a statement regarding lifelong learning. I'm going to quote out of your book, "The world of business will be more interconnected, more complicated, more unpredictable, more competitive than ever before." And you emphasize, each and every day, we should dedicate ourselves to learning as much as possible. I feel so fortunate because with this show, I have so much fabulous material like yours and other people that contribute to my level of learning and exposure to different types of thoughts, products, services, whatever. A lot of people might say, gee whiz, I can't afford to go to school, I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't have the money. What would you say to them? What is lifelong learning to you?
Lifelong learning is more than what you learn on the job. Right? Yeah, I separate that off. I think most people on the job, they want to learn, and they pick up things quickly, and they have enough change where they have to develop. But passionate lifelong learning, as I talk about it in the book, involves what you do with your personal time. Most people, and I'm saying it's probably close to 99% today, spend less than 13 minutes a day at home, personal time, working to improve their skills and knowledge and prepare themselves for something else. 13 minutes. And so when I went to my neighbor and I asked him to look at one of the early proofs of the book, and I had in there that I believe that if you dare to be different, if you dare to be, I hate to use the word 1%, but if you dare to be that 1% of the people that are able to really blossom and move ahead and reach their highest potential, if you dare to be different, to do that, you have to spend at least an hour and a half a day, personal time, studying and learning. Now, in the book, I talk about six ways that you can do that. It's quite a bit easier than at first blush. It can be done. There's many ways. I've done it all my life. And I got this thing about learning that I just, am so passionate about it that, but that breeds, knowledge is power. Knowledge leads to good things in your life career-wise. And if you don't spend extra time on it, you're going to be like the 99%. You're not going to be able to move ahead in your career. You're not going to be able to reach your highest potential. And that's what that is all about.
I think of different businesses that have started to adopt the policies of cross-training their employees so that they learn more than one job, if you will. This is especially very good when you're in a manufacturing industry. And it is something I think we need to remember in that form of example. We need to be involved in cross-training with ourselves. We never, ever are going to know it all, ever. And I think it really makes for interesting conversation. I think that when you open yourself up for new levels of learning and when you accept the fact that you're never, ever going to know it all, you can get excited about it. You can approach learning with a sense of adventure. And I think that that makes life much more interesting instead of adopting the attitude that so often is put out there that after a certain age, well, the brain stops working, blah, blah, blah. All of that is a myth. It's the people that have a zest for living, that have quality of lives throughout their lives. Zest for living, zest for learning. And your book goes such a long way. And one other comment out of your book, you say repetitive behavior is the key to establishing a new habit. And I can remember a mentor, one of my dearest mentors, she would say to me, Donna, when you want to change a habit, you need to replace that habit with a positive action that you want. Because just saying, I'm not going to have this in my life anymore isn't going to be enough because the old habit's going to come in. Nature abhors a vacuum, so you've got to put something good in its place. If you want to change what you perceive as a negative patterning, replace it with something that's positive. And your comment about repetitive behavior, that makes all the difference in the world.
I'm convinced that you can, for example, let's say you're weak in this caring for others attitude. A lot of people really have that weakness. And they can, if they wanted to change that, they can. And they can start, just as you said, by doing small things, getting more observant, looking at out in the world when they're about the world, seeing things and beginning to empathize more with that person. I use a story in the book about being in Champaign, Urbana, in a snowstorm and seeing this fellow in a wheelchair going through the storm into this drugstore. And I just felt so, I gave him a vibe or a prayer saying that he would somehow find a way to endure, not just that one instance, but his whole life. And as you work on it and you develop that empathy for others, you get this caring for others spirit. And this is what leads to people to be able to not only help others, but others will respond well to the person. So I really believe that I've hit on the three cores, the three core areas that people need to develop today to reach their highest potential and enjoy and have a fulfilling life. And I think if they pay attention to those and they work on them, everybody can master all three.
I agree. Fred Mansky, you're a delight to have as a guest. What is the website that people can go to find out more about your workshops, your book, Core Strategy for Success?
Yes,
what is the website?
It's leadershipdevelopment.com. That's leadershipdevelopment.com. And we have I have all the materials that I've written and worked on over the years on there. You can order the books either through the company or through Amazon. That's easy, too. But I want to stress, it's a nonprofit situation. I'm doing all this because I think that's what I need to do in my life, and it's to help people, and I hope you'll go to the website, leadershipdevelopment.com.
Fred Mansky, Jr., Core Strategy for Success. The man definitely has been in the business world, has a passion for it, loves people, wants people to understand that you don't have to have a dog-eat-dog attitude. You can be a participant in life be the good person, be the leader, come out ahead. His book, Core Strategy for Success, if you have any young people in your family, if you know of any colleges or any youth groups, they should know about this. And their teachers and their advisors should know about it because it can make a difference in their lives. They have to create their future. We have to take care of ours, too. So if we're a good example for them, that is an A-plus in my book. And Fred Mansky, Jr. definitely is an A-plus in that area. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and I wish you continued success.
Well, thank you, Donna. I've enjoyed talking with you and your audience.
It has been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. Check out leadershipdevelopment.com. Let's take a break. Then we'll come back with some other good things to share.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008, and I'll be glad to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line, but click like a bunny. I want to let you know that there is a class coming up November the 3rd for those of you that are in Western Washington, and this is Quantum Mind 4. Robert Newman is going to be giving a presentation on secrets to longevity via Chinese medicine, which I know is going to be very interesting for people. By golly, we're coming into a new year. Why not do the best you can? Then, in my portion of the seminar, I am going to be doing some various exercises, showing you how you can use color and all kinds of things. It's really going to be fun. So it's developing your intuitive self, learning about longevity and wellness, and it's a powerful package. So if you are interested in this, you can check out my newsletter, which is going to be coming out on the 1st of October. There will be details in there, and also it will be up on my website shortly, and I will be sending out an email notice as well, probably by tomorrow or this weekend. So anyway, just put that on your calendar, November the 1st, it's a 3rd, excuse me. November the 3rd, it's a Saturday, and the hours will be from 10 until 4, and that does include lunch. So put that on your calendar. I'd love to see you in the class. We can only have 25 people because we like to give personalized attention to everyone that attends. Donna Siebel here, 888-627-6008. Let's go to our first caller. I want to thank you very much for waiting. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Joni Tucson.
Okay, Joni. I hope that the sun is shining where you are. Here in the Pacific Northwest, fall has decided to let us know it's in season. He's arrived. He said, I'm here. So it's gray and foggy and damp, cool. I hope the sun's shining where you are.
It is. And we,
oh, good.
We love it.
Yes, I know, and I'm going to be jealous for at least 3 or 4 hours until ours shows up. Let's hope. Anyway, what I want to say with you first off, right off the bat, is I think you're going to find yourself concerned about your size for some reason. And I don't see you as being an obese person. I don't know why you're concerned, but I'm seeing you putting on some piece of clothing and saying, uh-oh, this isn't fitting exactly the way I'd like for it to fit. I really think that what you need to keep in mind is that your body thrives on physical activity. So there probably is just some little something that has changed in your dietary patterning and in your exercise patterning. And all you need to do is not starve yourself. Don't worry about it. Just do something you really enjoy. I'd say something like dancing. That's a lot of fun. If you like swimming, I mean, you live in Arizona. The sun is shining. The weather's absolutely wonderful. So I would just say do whatever you enjoy doing. Don't make it something that's laborious and tedious. And I think you're going to find yourself fitting into your clothes just fine. I'm not concerned about you with the upcoming holidays that are going to be here within before we know it. Don't worry about that. You don't have to be concerned about becoming fat or becoming inactively occupied. That's not going to happen with you. So I want you to relax a little about your space and do some things that are fun. They don't have to cost money. Maybe it's just walking or doing something in a community activity with other people. Just know all you have to do is have physical activity that's going to keep your body moving, and you will find that you're going to be able to stay the shape that you want to stay. And it's just little tiny subtle adjustments, no big deal when it comes to food. You pretty much can eat whatever you want if you want to. You just need to remember that if you're not that active, your body's just going to become extremely efficient and store it. But your health is good. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I do ride my three-wheel tricycle, and I am trying to pay more attention to doing the fun things. But thank you for picking up on that. Thursday morning, and I took this morning off because it is my birthday, and I just work at a place that I volunteer. It's a resume builder, and there's a lot of changes there, a lot of kind of inner turmoil. I wonder if you saw that a job coming from that, and if they were going to be calmer to work with.
No, they're not going to be any calmer. By the way, happy birthday to you. I'm glad you gave yourself the gift of the day. No, I'm not seeing it ever really being calmer. What I see is that there hasn't been leadership, good leadership at the helm for a period of time here. And what you are looking at is an environment that actually needs to be churned up every once in a while. So even though it may be discordant, it is actually not a bad thing that it's happening. Because without the churning up, it's as if things become too stuck in ruts. And then there's all of this, I'll call it mismanagement, that goes on. As far as a job opportunity, that may come down the pike. I would say don't look to this environment for that job. Keep your volunteer work up, and You can just drop the word, this is something I would be interested in, these are my qualifications, and if you feel you have a need for my services and my skills, I'm open to doing something. But what you've got is a lot of confusion. The right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. So just be a good observer, have a good attitude, drop in suggestions here and there as you feel they may apply, and don't own them. Just drop them like little seeds. Let people see you in the light of how you want to be seen, as someone who is not just a contributor, but somebody that's knowledgeable. And there may be something that you'll be able to do for them that would offer efficiency. And again, it's something that this is not the end-all of end-all, but it's giving you some very good training of working with people.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
So don't own any of it. In other words, don't take it home with you and fuss over it and fume over it and, you know, go through all of the wheels turning and, oh, if I could do this, I could do that. Don't worry about it. Don't own it. You're volunteering. What you want to be is that bright light that when you walk in, people say, boy, am I glad to see you this morning. Say, great. Fudge brownies, anyone? You just need to have that demeanor. Don't worry about it. Don't own it. And be helpful in any way that you can with the experience that you've got. And I think you will get some very good references. And you don't know. You're looking. You're wanting to do some work. You're wanting to find a particular kind of positioning. All you have to do is have your business card, to pass it out to people. Say, if you know of anybody that could use my skills and services, I'm available. And that'll open up some doors for you that you maybe don't expect. So I think it's very good that you're doing some volunteer work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, happy birthday to you.
It is a happy birthday. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Enjoy it tremendously. Donna Siebel here. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to have a wonderful woman on the show. Her name is Lindsay Frucci. She put together a memoir. It's called The Pig and Me. And this is just a phenomenal story about her going into business for herself, 10 years of her life, and the building of a company. The story is just amazing. And the cover of the book has the cutest little pig on it. Well, it was actually her logo of her product at one time. So we're going to be chatting with her, and I just know it's going to be informative, it's going to be insightful, and this is just an absolutely lovely woman. So tell your friends and be sure you join me, because I think you're going to find this woman really, really interesting. Well, I know we're coming up on a break pretty soon. Let me give out the number again if you'd like to call in and chat, 888-627-6008. When we come back from break, I'm going to share some tips that I came across to enhance your creativity and success. And it has to do with Apple. That's right. And talk a little bit about Steve Jobs and some other things. So I think you'll find it interesting. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat with me, 888-627-6008. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Apple, your way to creativity and success. That's what this article sparked. And I was really intrigued with this when I came across it because I am a very strong advocate of teaching children cursive writing because it promotes brain activity. And I was just really upset when I was seeing some kind of a survey done and teachers were saying, oh, we just need to get rid of writing and have kids just type everything out on the computer. The brain develops because of the use of muscles and the capability of writing. I can't tell you how many times when I've been out publicly and people have filled out forms, I'm just seeing this scribble. You could no more figure out what they were writing than a man in the moon. And I have learned it's very difficult for people to learn how to print. So writing is important. It enhances the brain and makes a difference. Well, I found that Steve Jobs, the man who founded Apple, his favorite class was calligraphy. And he said that it assisted him, the discipline of learning how to control the hand movements to do calligraphy, actually inspired creativity and innovation. And he really, really felt that it had a big impact on his brain as far as coming up with ideas. And the reason he felt that that was the case is because it requires you paying attention to detail. When you are learning how to do calligraphy, you must go between the lines. You must follow a certain direction, pressure point with a pen, all of this. It improves motor skills, like I said, for children. It's very important. And it improves concentration. Also, if you want to get a brain boost, they have found from research that you don't need to take a calligraphy class, but all you have to do is to practice writing in the cursive form. When you have to seamlessly link one letter to the next, it stimulates thinking. That's why journaling is so important. It allows you to make that brain connection that affects the nervous system, creates creative thinking, and it just allows you to lower stress. That's why journaling has been recommended by literally thousands of people when they want you to be able to understand that this empowers your life. And I've done journaling for years, and it really does. It really does make a difference. So there you got a little bit of a tidbit regarding Steve Jobs and one of the tools that he used. Also, I got a kick out of this one. You need a jelly bean rainbow, and I love that. I don't know about you, but I like jelly beans, and I especially like the jelly bellies. I really do. They are just absolutely delicious. And it was a visit through a jelly bean factory that inspired the candy-colored iMac. They got the idea from going through a candy factory, make computers in different cultures. And the company, at the time that they implemented the colors into their computer design, they were almost bankrupt. Did you know that? I didn't. Well, that's true. This was so exciting. The people loved it, and their sales just went sky high using color. Now, the first color that the iMac came in was blue, and they say they chose blue for a reason. It just wasn't someone flipping a coin, say, well, let's do the first one blue. When people look at the color blue, they become more open-minded and creative because it reminds them of the sky. Green also has that kind of effect. Green is subconsciously associated with growth. People often will say green is the color of healing. Green is the color of money. Observe nature. When things are a beautiful green color, they're healthy, they're growing, they're vibrant. All of this is very, very significant. And also, when you want to be innovative, put yourself in an environment that has a lot of windows. Better yet, be outside. But what they've discovered in research is that when there's a lot of light, natural light that comes in through windows, it just gives you that feeling of openness. It's inspiring. It just allows you to feel good. I know many writers, when they have their writing areas, they like to be in front or by windows where they can just glance out. It's an amazing thing. So windows make a difference. Also, what they discovered at Apple, Google's utilizing this. A lot of companies are finally catching up with this understanding, and that is allowing people to work in teams, but not gigantic ones. When you have maybe two, three, four people working together on a project, ideas are just going to flow. And when you allow them to flow and you don't put a judgment on those ideas, my gracious, things can happen. And this is something that has, it really is not new. I think any innovator, I look at there's a couple of inventors that are coming into my mind, that they would get together. Edison is the one I was trying to think of. Edison, Ford, there was another person that was a trio. They'd go fishing. They'd brainstorm when they were fishing. Now, each of these men were in different industries. Napoleon Hill wrote about it in his book, The Law of Success. He said these men would get together. They would do it in a recreational way, and then they would brainstorm. They'd bounce ideas off of each other, and many times they'd have ahas, and they'd go back home totally refreshed from their vacation of brainstorming. And they did it in an environment, all green around them, lots of trees, flowing water, blue water, all of this stuff. Think of the colors. They put themselves in an environment that was conducive to them opening up to new concepts and new ideas. Now, why smaller teams instead of bigger ones? Well, if you have a huge team, usually what happens is there might be one or two or maybe even three that just think that everybody else's ideas are just nonsensical, and then they just railroad everybody else out. So they have coined a term, learn small, to get the most useful opinion. So if you want to get feedback from people, maybe if you're in a business of your own or you're trying to brainstorm and you have a couple of people you like to mentor with, keep it small. Don't try to get 10 or 15 people together. Have a couple, three, and you'll come out way ahead. So those are some tips regarding Apple and Steve Jobs and some other things that I thought would be good to share. Well, I know we're just about out of time. It's been absolutely delightful being with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. When I think of our guest today, Mr. Mansky, I'm just so thrilled that people like him are stepping out saying we need to do things the right way, because as Eleanor Doan said, you cannot kindle a fire in any other heart until it's burning within your own. Remember that. If you have something that you truly love, There are others that want to join you in your success. And that's what you need to remember. You're very, very significant. Maybe your face isn't on the front of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or People magazine or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. What is the quality of your life? What's the integrity of your life? What is the passion and dream of your life? And go out and reach for it. Don't run away from it. Reach for it. And look for those people that you can mentor with, that you can join an alliance with. They'll be there to support you. And they'll trust you, they'll depend upon you, and they'll delight in your growth. They're not going to make fun of you at all. Enjoy this day. It is a gift. I'm so delighted you've been able to be with me. And we've got wonderful things to share with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Look forward to chatting with you then. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.